In Christ we pray. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. You probably didn't know that. But today is actually Trinity Sunday. And it is somewhat apparent in some of the songs and the hymns that we've sung. Holy, holy, holy. It is to the tune of Nicaea, and we will talk about Nicaea in just a few seconds. God is a reality that even the most learned theologians are cautious in their attempts to define. We acknowledge that God is so great and beyond our abilities to fully comprehend. The best one can do is to speak of God as metaphor. And even while we Christians confess with Jews and Muslims that the Lord our God is one, we are not adverse to speaking of God in Trinitarian terms, of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Such language emerges from the Council of Nicaea. You don't find the words Trinity or God in three persons. You don't find them at all in Scripture. Such concepts arise from the Council of Nicaea, which represents the most formalized Christian attempt to define God. Let us acquaint ourselves with this international ecumenical council. In 313 CE, with the Edict of Milan, the persecution of Christians ended, and Christianity emerged as a religion to be tolerated in the Roman Empire along with the other faith traditions. But in that the Roman Emperor Constantine favored Christianity over the other religions and believed that the Christian God assured the greatest protection and prosperity for his empire, the Christian church would ultimately emerge as the state-preferred religion. Constantine was the first emperor, Roman emperor, to accept and embrace Christianity. But in so doing, he discovered there were various competing and opposing schools of belief regarding God and Christ and the Holy Spirit that he had to deal with if he wanted to unite his empire under one God and one faith. So in 325, about 12 years after his conversion, Constantine convened an international ecumenical council in Nicaea, which is present-day Iznik in northwestern Turkey, to resolve these theological disputes. The most contentious arising out of Alexandria, Egypt, where two clerics, Arius and Athanasius, differed concerning the unity of Christ with God. Arius believed that Christ was subordinate and created by God, while Athanasius believed that Christ was equal and co-eternal with God. Arius argued that to accept the equality and co-eternity of Christ with God was to refute the age-old belief that God is one, for we would be then turning Jesus into a God alongside the Creator. Arius believed that though Jesus reflected the fullness of God in human form, he nonetheless must not be equated with God. Are you with me still? Now, Athanasius, on the other hand, countered that the word and wisdom of God, we've read passages today regarding the wisdom of God from Proverbs and the word of God from John, Athanasius contended that the word and wisdom of God, which he equated with Jesus, could not be separated from the essence of God, and that Christ, though incarnate in human form, remained inseparable and united with the divine source from which he came, thus maintaining the oneness and co-eternity with God. Athanasius won the debate. And even though Constantine, who could not make sense of what all that was going on, could not make sense of the creed, regardless pledged to uphold and enforce it. And so throughout the centuries since Nicaea, Christians throughout the world have professed this most commonly recited credo, not really knowing what it means when it says, "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten or created of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God." Now, you're probably wondering, why should I care? This is one of the most fundamental questions of faith. Why should we care? Because if our statements of faith, if our creeds and credos fail to speak to the realities, the joys, dilemmas, and concerns of everyday life, then they are but empty words. However, for first century Christians and for the first century church, these words meant a lot. They cared a lot about this statement of faith. It is recorded that Arius' remarks so outraged one of the attending bishops from Myra that he couldn't restrain himself from getting up out of his seat and slapping the cleric. The bishop's violent behavior so upset his colleagues that they restrained him, confined him in chains, and threw him temporarily in prison until he cooled down. Now, this bishop was later canonized as Saint Nicholas, whom we come to know as Santa Claus. So you might take solace in the fact that even jolly old Saint Nicholas had his bad days. Saint Nicholas would have many more bad days. For while Constantine banned Arius and his followers who refused to accept the Nicene Creed, and threatened with death anyone throughout the empire who espoused it, the emperor himself would continue to quietly favor the Arian controversy that Christ was subordinate and created by God. And on his dying day, received last rites and baptism at the hands of his cousin, and Arian bishop, Eusebius of Nicomedia. Who would have thought that the following passages of Scripture, linking Christ with God, intended to inspire happiness, would cause instead much hatred and bloodshed? The first comes from the book of Proverbs, which says this: "Does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice? The Lord created me at the beginning of his works, the first of his acts of long ago. When he marked the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. And the second from the Gospel of John, which says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. But John was wrong. Darkness does overcome us. All hell breaks loose and truth diminishes when we fail to stick to the realization that God is an unfathomable comprehension that can only be best described as metaphor. As creator, father, and mother of us all, as love incarnate in Christ, as Christ incarnate and embodied in all who love without limits, as an ever-reviving Holy Spirit, awakening us to the oneness with God and all creation as God's holy family. But darn it, that's more than a trinity. But why should we care? God is all of the above and more.